Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 was founded in 2005 as a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. I want to encourage you to visit MediaTalk101.org, where you can find helpful articles, you can find some videos, and some other resources, including our award-winning documentary, Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. One website that I haven't mentioned very often, but is the official Captivated website, which is CaptivatedTheMovie.com. And there you can not only order a copy of the movie, but we have several video clips, probably at least 15 or 20, that you can watch from the documentary if you're curious to learn more about it and read more about that production. So also, if you've not had the opportunity to attend a Media Talk 101 seminar, you can check out the DVD Media Choices, Convictions, or Compromise, or even our workbook, which is titled Christianity and Entertainment. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president, and I'm here back in the studio with my friend, co-worker, co-host of this podcast, Rhett Simpkins. How are you doing today, Rhett?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. And we are wrapping up. I mean, it's not the summer anymore, is it?
No. Nope.
In fact, here in Northwest Illinois, it's a little bit chilly. Have you made a fire yet in your wood stove?
Not yet. I still need to get some wood. I'm kind of behind.
Well, I have to make a confession. We're lightweights, and maybe spending those years in Texas, our blood got too thin. But my wife, she tends to run a little cold, so I actually found myself making a fire the other day. For those of you in warmer climates, that might be hard to believe, but it's getting chilly up here in the Northwest. I think I'll move to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, okay, during the summer, we've been doing Q&A, but now that summer's over, I guess we'll shift gears a little bit, but we want to encourage you, if you have a question or a comment that you would like us to just address or to discuss in this podcast, please send us an email. It's really easy to do, and that email is podcast@mediatalk101.org. And so once again, that's podcast@mediatalk101.org. But we do have a question today, and why don't you give me that question that we recently received?
Okay. Yeah, this recent question is actually one that we get quite a bit. And this person was wondering, what do you recommend for internet safety?
Okay, great question. What do I recommend for internet safety? Well, this is going to be a two-part answer. And the first thing, in fact, recently someone personally asked me that question about what I recommend. And the first thing that came out of my mouth, because usually people are thinking, what software?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of software are you, do you recommend? And I'll tell you one that I recommend in a moment. But to me, it's not the most important thing. What I find myself telling people often is that the most important thing for internet safety is the fear of the Lord. Because if you do not have a fear of the Lord in your life, then it doesn't matter what kind of software you have on your computer or on your iPhone or your iPad or your Droid. Because there's always going to be ways that you can be sneaky and get around those things. Because, why would someone want to do that? Why would someone say, well, I want internet safety, and then I'm going to turn around, I'm going to load these things, and I'm going to try to get around them? Well, there's two reasons that would happen. And one is you're just trying to keep an image before people that you're living righteously and that you're using the internet safely, but your heart is corrupt and you just want that appearance, and so you're gonna keep that appearance. The other thing would be children in the household. You're concerned about children, and we'll talk about that in the moment. But as far as whether you're a young adult, a teen, or an adult, once again, the most important thing that you need in your life is a healthy fear of the Lord. And because if you do not have that, let me read a verse for you. It says, "Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's from Proverbs 3:7. Once again, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And Proverbs 16:6 says, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. And then Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, so if you have the fear of the Lord, you're going to depart from evil. You are going to hate evil. And that is going to be critical. It's so critical in this time because, you know, once again, there's always ways that if you do not fear the Lord and you do not hate evil, of ways of just, you know, kind of trying to navigate around this to keep at least some sort of presence before people that, you know, everything's okay and you're safe. But there's heart issues. And so I think what we'll do for this podcast, Rhett, is I'd like to talk a little bit more about the fear of the Lord. Do you think that's...
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to do that. And in fact, I anticipate that I have so much I could share on this that we may not get through in one podcast. So this will probably be part one of part two, unless I'm surprised by how quick this goes. But the other thing is, I told you it was going to be a two-part. So that's the one part. The fear of the Lord, we'll come back to that in a moment. But when people ask those questions, once again, they're talking about internet security or safety, or and there are several things out on the market today. Now, we as a ministry have elected to promote Covenant Eyes. So that's what we promote. And so Covenant Eyes, you can go to their website, and you know, I'm such a terrible salesman. We even have like a promotional code or something, and I don't even know what it is to give you.
There's a link in the foot bar at the bottom of the website.
Okay, in the footer of the website, there's a little link. So you can go there, and what happens is, this is a shameless plug. If you want to support a couple ministries, you want to support Covenant Eyes, you can click on that link at mediatalk101.org, and if you sign up, I think they bless us with a little bit of something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's ever done it. So
nope, not yet.
So we have no idea what that looks like because no one's ever done it. But so I'm not a salesperson. But once again, just because people are always asking, we just said, okay, Covenant Eyes. And there are two different types of programs for computers. And one would be filtering, you know, filtering software. So Covenant Eyes has a filtering software that you load on your computer and it blocks certain websites, and you can set the levels of that. So that's option. But the other component to Covenant Eyes, and other, in fact, some of these are built right into most computers today, and that is reporting software. So Covenant Eyes, as well as other organizations out there that develop these things for Christians, they have a reporting software. So you set up an accountability partner, or more than one accountability partners, and then it just monitors your activity, and if there's anything, any website that you go to that is questionable, it'll flag that and it'll send that in a report to your accountability partner. So that's a great thing, and want to encourage you, if you're looking for something, certainly, you know, do that, but do not neglect the fear of the Lord. So all of that is helpful, especially if you have children in the house. Mm-hmm. But even when it comes to internet safety, aside from the programs, there are some just certain things that you should do if you have children in the household that you're concerned about. I mean, we need to be concerned about our own internet activity, but as a parent, you know, I'm concerned about protecting my children as well. Because anything for good or for evil can be found out there on the internet, and it's just one or two clicks away from a lot of trouble. And so one of the things that we do in our household is to limit, first of all, our children do not have access to the internet. And I know that that is probably considered so backward, I'll probably be reported for child abuse, you know, at some point in our history, because I don't allow my children to have access. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't have access to the internet. I think I've mentioned this before in a podcast. It's like taking them to the library. You know, I'm going to go with them. They're children, and I want to guide them in the right direction. And so if they are interested in something, they want to know about something, that's going to involve, you know, the convenience of going on the internet to find information on that, I will do that for them, you know, and I will help them, and I'll help them with some research on things. But at that point, I'm actually in the driver's seat, you know, I'm driving the car, so to speak, and they're passengers, you know, so they're passive in that whole process. And I explain to them why, you know, I tell them, you know, clearly. Now, as they're getting older, you know, so the only one right now who has limited access to the internet is my oldest daughter, who's 16. And she has, once again, limited access. And people are thinking, once again, Philip, that is so backward. I said, no, that's not backward. That's called being a shepherd of the home. That's called protecting my children. And they're going to do just fine with limited access. I grew up, and when I was 16, I didn't have any access to the internet. And I survived that just fine. And your children will survive as well. What the problem will be is that all of their peers and friends are going to be connected to the internet, and that's going to build their worldview and their culture, and they're going to think, oh, my mom and dad, they don't love me. They hate me because they don't let me have an internet-connected phone or let me on the internet all the time in the household. And well, you know, there's several ways that you can deal with that. First of all, you know, you have to be real careful about who your children are hanging out with. You know, if I'm concerned about the nonsense on the internet, I'm also concerned about a lot of other children who have unlimited access to the internet, and what kind of influences are in their own lives. And so that's why we are around people all the time, you know. So, but and my children are around people all the time. We travel a lot. We're in so many different settings, but I keep a watchful eye, you know, because I'm the dad, you know, and that's the job God has given me, to keep a watchful eye and to give some guidance and to carefully monitor the things in my home, including the type of children and that my children are hanging out with. So we will gravitate, if it comes to fostering relationships out of the home, we're going to be very, very careful with that. And we do allow that. But I'm going to make sure it's among like-minded people. And I think that desperate times calls for desperate measures. Mm-hmm. And I wish society was in a different place right now where it wasn't such an issue. But it is an issue. That's the bottom line. It is an issue. So we're very, very careful. And so I trust, I see the work that God's doing in my oldest daughter, Elizabeth. And when we give her a little bit of freedom and responsibility, I've seen that she's used it carefully. And so I trust her, but I still limit her internet access. But as she gets older, you know, she'll probably get more and more freedom as she shows herself trustworthy, as she has been doing. And so I've used this analogy before in this podcast about, you know, it's like getting, right now she has like her learner's permit, you know, so if she's driving, it's going to be with supervision. But we have to train our children. You know, they're eventually going to be out of the house, and they're going to be navigating these things as young adults, and then they're going to start their own families. And at some point, they're going to have to begin to walk in wisdom. And where are they going to get that wisdom? Where do you think wisdom comes from, Brett?
From the fear of the Lord.
There you go. The fear of the Lord. In fact, the psalmist says, or the proverbs say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It also says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you read the last portion, and I don't have the quote in front of me right now, but he says, but this is the end of it all, you know. And one of the things, he lists several things, but one of them is fear the Lord. So it's the beginning and it's the end. You know, so if you really want to know where are you going to get this, where are our children going to get this wisdom? Where are we going to get this wisdom to navigate so many difficult things in our culture today regarding the internet and phones that are connected to the internet, and even the game devices right now are connected to the internet? How are we going to navigate this? Well, it's going to take wisdom, not just a bunch of rules. And that wisdom is going to come from the fear of the Lord. So I'm going to ask you a question here, Rhett.
Okay.
You don't even know what I'm going to ask.
No, I don't.
All right. What comes to your mind when I say these two words? No fear.
T-shirts, hats, that sort of thing. Bumper stickers.
Okay. All right. So this wasn't just in my culture.
No,
this wasn't in my generation. This is still around?
Well, it was when I was younger.
Okay. All right. What did that mean? What was that?
It was like a clothing brand or something, I think.
Okay. Clothing brand, but there's like bumper stickers. You know, I saw bumper stickers. No fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, hats. I mean, it seemed like everywhere. What do you think is behind that? I mean, there's got to be some sort of culture. What do you suppose? Just take a guess. It's okay if you're wrong. I don't know. I don't know the answer because I only saw this everywhere for a while. Just take a stab at it. What do you think they were trying to get at no fear?
I don't know. Maybe just capitalizing on current trends. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, that's okay. I would say that, you know, as I think about that, I don't know for certain, but it seems like the ideology behind that statement is probably about taking risks, you know, this culture of extreme sports, maybe, you know, taking risks, being daring, maybe reckless, you know, I don't know if that, would you describe your generation? Reckless?
Yeah, probably, yep.
Okay, reckless, or simply not being afraid of anything. Well, you know, so we've seen those, and maybe you've seen those no fear bumper. If you've got some insight, why don't you send us an email to inform us, you know? I have no idea.
Well, what's funny is I actually used to have a no fear shirt, and I didn't know what it was. I just wore it because it was cool.
But were you afraid of certain things?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I had fear.
So just wearing the t-shirt didn't help. You weren't Superman or anything. Okay. Well, you know, there's an off-sided verse in 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So I suppose we could redeem that statement, no fear, and put it in the context of there's no fear in love. And we know that love is not defined by culture, but that love is truly defined by God's word. The King James Version says, because fear hath torment or judgment or punishment. So there's a difference, I believe, in the scriptures when we're talking about the fear of the Lord. There's a difference if you're saying you're afraid of God and fearing God. They're not the same thing. And I've heard this analogy before of, you know, like driving on a highway. You know, I don't know, hurling down a road in a piece of metal and plastic at 70 miles an hour, you know, just a foot or so, you know, from another car going the opposite direction. I think that's a pretty fearful thing, you know, when you think about it. I mean, we take for granted that we're doing this oftentimes, but and in Texas, boy, the speed limits are a lot faster. And so, you know, we're glad to maybe be able to drive 65 on a highway here in Illinois. But in Texas, I mean, sometimes the speed limit is 75 on two-lane roads. And so you can really be flying, you know, just now. And there's hopefully, even if you're driving 75 miles an hour on a two-lane road, a right, healthy fear is going to cause you to stay in your lane. Now, if you're driving in the wrong lane, that's a whole other story. You know, if you're driving in the wrong lane, now there's a different level of fear there. You know, you should be afraid of the oncoming traffic. And likewise, when we're talking about fearing God, if you're in the wrong lane, you know, so to speak, in your relationship to God, and you're heading for that head-on collision of judgment, that should make you afraid. But being afraid of God is only recognition because you're in the wrong lane. Get out of the wrong lane. You know, so that the answer is not to be afraid of God. The answer is to fear the Lord and make sure you're in the right lane. Make sure, you know, another analogy I've heard before is that of a gun. You know, if if there is a bear, you know, coming at you in the wild, you'd be glad to have a gun in your hand, you know. Mm-hmm. And a gun, you know, is something to handle with care, mm-hmm. you know. It's a very fearful thing. If it's pointed at you, mm-hmm. you should be afraid, you know, if that barrel is pointed at you. But if you have that gun in your hand and you're pointing it at a vicious bear coming to consume you, it's a whole different story. It's a matter of direction. And likewise, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, some people think, well, why should we fear the Lord? You know, wouldn't that drive us away from him? No. You know, when you have a proper, healthy fear of the Lord, it's because you're in a right relationship that's growing. Mm-hmm. And I'll demonstrate by the time we're done, maybe not with this podcast, but maybe next week, how a right fear of the Lord actually brings us into greater intimacy with God if we understand the fear of the Lord correctly. But if you are a rebel against God, if you are not going in the right direction right now in your life, you have much to be afraid of. But that's not the answer. And so when we look at that verse, how there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment or judgment or punishment, that's, you need the love of Christ, you know, in your life that can come and take away that fear of judgment, because you don't have to stay in that head-on collision with judgment that's coming upon all of those who are not repentant. And so I want to encourage you to understand this in context, because you know, that verse has been taken out of, oh, there's no fear in love, so we shouldn't be we shouldn't fear the Lord. Yet there's so much. So in that sense, going back to that contemporary slogan of no fear, it's what we're talking about is a far cry from that contemporary slogan, which I believe is more about recklessness, mm-hmm. and taking reckless risks in life, whether it's with extreme sports or whether it's with relationships or anything else. So you should not be afraid of God regarding judgment if you are a Christian. You know, that's that you shouldn't be afraid of God in regard to judgment if you are a Christian. And 1 John 4:17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So now, once again, but if you're not a Christian, if you've not believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the Son of God, and you have not come to a place of repenting of your sins and receiving that promised new life in Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit taking up residence in you, in your very person, you have much to be afraid of. But that fear should not drive you away from God. Even that kind of fear should drive you closer to God. So let me, in fact, I think it's probably a good time to kind of introduce this. And between this week's podcast and next week's podcast, I'll kind of maybe expound this a little bit. I have been blessed to hear an evangelist several times from Texas. His name is Bill Hayes. He's an old school preacher. I believe he's probably in his 70s. He's been an evangelist for years, and his whole ministry has been focused on teaching people about the fear of the Lord. And so I've sat under this teaching, and that's really what's got me fired up over the years, and why I've wanted to and have incorporated it into this ministry, Media Talk 101, and is from sitting under his teaching and his ministry. And he teaches so many things about the fear of the Lord from the scriptures. But one of the things I really love in his ministry is he talks about four levels of the fear of the Lord. And that each one, you know, if we understand them correctly, can draw us nearer to the Lord. And that the first level, which we're talking about here, he talks about the fear of the Lord regarding avoidable judgment. And that's the key word, avoidable judgment. If you are without Christ, you are in the wrong lane, and you are heading for a head-on collision with judgment. It's going to happen, and that is avoidable. You don't have to remain in that lane. And so you can repent of your sins. You can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and you can get out of that. You know that. So that's avoidable judgment, and that is a level of the fear of the Lord which is healthy, and it should draw us closer to him, not drive us further from him. So the fear of the Lord doesn't drive us from him. It draws us to him. And that's why it's so important. So you need to have the right kind of fear. And one example of being afraid and not letting that draw you near to the Lord comes from a verse that I use just about in every presentation. When I give my Media Choices, Convictions, or Compromise presentation, this is one of the first verses that anyone hears. And that's Acts 24, verse 25. Because as I talk about convictions versus compromise, a conviction, I tell people, is what a conviction is something you believe so strongly that it will guide your actions even when under pressure. And it's different than what I would call convenient beliefs, things that we believe to be true as long as they're convenient. And when they're no longer convenient, we think, well, maybe I don't believe that's true anymore. And so I turn people to Acts chapter 24, verse 25. In the setting here, it's the Apostle Paul, and he's been arrested for preaching the gospel. And he's in this, I don't know if you could call it a trial or a pre-trial, with this governor, this Roman, a pagan Roman governor named Felix. Now that's key. You have to know what the setting is. Paul is speaking before this pagan Roman governor. And what we hear is that it says that Paul reasoned with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And it says that Felix was afraid and said, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." So notice this. This is key. Here's Paul the evangelist having an opportunity to witness and speak into the life of a pagan Roman governor. And what are the things he's preaching? Righteousness, what is right as opposed to what is wrong. Self-control, that God has given you the ability to make choices. And the judgment to come, that one day each and every one of us will give an account of our lives before God. And you're either going to be in the right lane or you're going to be in the wrong lane. And as Paul is preaching this, this scared Felix. He's like, I'm afraid of this. And I don't want to hear this anymore. Paul, go away, you know. Why don't you come back with a easier message, you know. Give me something softer than that, you know. So Paul was certainly not a seeker-sensitive preacher. He was, this is how he taught pagan Roman governors. And so we can see that the reality of judgment, the reality of righteousness, of self-control. In fact, we were just, you and I were doing a little Bible study and had a prayer time last night. And one of the things we were looking at was just the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in one verse that we read, it says that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit has come into the world to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so that's the part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And yet, when Felix here heard about judgment to come, it didn't. Instead of drawing near to God, he wanted to flee. And that wasn't because there wasn't an opportunity to draw near and get on the right side of the lane. It's because he's rejecting, you know, rejecting the gospel, and resistant to the work of the Holy Spirit, and people can do that. So, you know, there are so many things that in regard to the fear of the Lord. In fact, I've done extensive study on this. And did you know there are over 100 verses from Genesis to Revelation that tell us that we must have the fear of the Lord? And you know, Rhett, that we have, you know, in Bible studies, not all the time do you have as many verses on a subject that you'd like to have, you know. I find that quite a bit. You know, it's like, oh, I wished we had a little bit more information. And I know that the Lord, this is sufficient, and this is what the Lord has given us. But when you do see a subject in the Bible that has over 100 references specifically to the fear of the Lord from Genesis to Revelation, then we should really take that to heart. This is not just Old Testament. This is New Testament. And some of the things that we learn about the fear of the Lord from those 100 verses, just to kind of summarize some of those things, is it the fear of the Lord is it's commanded. It's also illustrated and demonstrated in people's lives. It's followed with blessing. That when you have the right fear of the Lord in your life, it's followed by blessing. It also results in God's protection. It secures God's provision. It gives access to God's guidance. These are all things that many of these scriptures teach. It grants insight into God's heart. And it precedes intimacy with the Creator of the universe. And so going back to talking about this evangelist, Bill Hayes, you know, he talks about four levels of the fear of the Lord, and we're just dealing with this one right now, the fear of avoidable judgment. But there's other levels, you know, so it doesn't stop there. In fact, the next one, which we'll talk about here in a moment, is what he calls the fear of the Lord regarding the unavoidable consequences of sin. So we'll just kind of throw that out there as a commercial of things to come here. You know, the unavoidable consequences of sin. That's a reason why we need to have a healthy fear of the Lord. Now, that being said, we're running out of time, mm-hmm. which I knew we would.
Yeah.
Here, I only got to one level of the fear of the Lord, the fear of avoidable judgment. But once again, next week, let's come back. Let's talk some more. And I'll tell you about the second level of the fear of the Lord, that fear of the unavoidable consequences of sin, plus two other levels in regard to the fear of the Lord that can help us to grow and closer to God. And once again, in regard to media discernment in our lives, if you want to be growing in media discernment, if you want to grow in wisdom, if you want to grow in understanding, if you want to train your senses to discern between what's good and what's evil, you're not going to be able to do that apart from the fear of the Lord.
You've been listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. If you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@mediatalk101.org. Philip and I would love to hear from you. And if you find this program encouraging and helpful, please help us spread the word. Let others know they can find us on iTunes or by visiting mediatalk101.org.